Because you can handle the truth. Truth.
Back. No, we weren't back. It's the beginning of the show, Republic of Texas Radio. Today's date is August 30th, 2020. Hey, I apologize to you guys for not being here last week. Maybe I'll talk a little bit about that as the show goes on. Maybe it doesn't need to be talked about, but who knows? We're Republic of Texas Radio. We've been on Republic Broadcasting now for 4, maybe going on 5 years, something like that. I don't know. Been talking about stuff and things for, since 2011. You know, enjoying my time here with Republic Broadcasting. You know, find a lot of interesting conversations to be talked about. This year, 2020, has been fascinating. Utterly fascinating. You know, we had the beginning of the COVID, right? COVID part one, I like to call it. We had the advent of, a new BLM. Remember the old BLM? They were called the Bureau of Land Management. Yeah, they were the bad guys during Bundy and, Bundy part two. What was that called? The Hardin or Mayur Wildlife Refuge. That was Bundy too, and we're going to be talking about that probably coming towards the end of this hour, somewhere along the lines, because it all comes together. It really does. But we've been talking about this year, 2020. We went from we're all going to die, the COVID edition, you know, in the early 3-4 months, and then all of a sudden we had the Black Lives Matter, and they're burning things, and they're tearing things up. It started to lose steam, and then we entered the COVID, what I like to call COVID Part 2. Now, I would name this episode, Stuck in the COVID, you know, and Part 2, the cracking, because the COVID is cracking all around us. The lies, the masks, the rules are, they've been deemed stupid by a lot of people. Some people are a little bit late adopting the is stupid type mentality, and I have heard reports from around the United States of masks going up and paranoia going up. But for the most part, people are dropping the mask and showing the nose and, you know, hiding the chin, you know, while they walk through and just say, screw you, I'm not COVID anymore. Well, needless to say, we're also going to be talking a little bit about Texas independence. That's really where this show was initially launched, to tell you about the people and the groups of Texas independence and, you know, where it's going. When Trump came on the scene in 2016, well, everything kind of shifted, and the Texas independence crew stuck that was previously stuck with Barack Hussein Obama. We're really riled up. You know, Obama did lots of bad things to this nation, took away a lot of freedom and liberty, and everybody said it was good. But jobs went away and whatnot, and then Trump came along, and then all of a sudden Texas independents are going, what? Oh, okay, so now that's on the back burner. You know, we're going to put all our faith in Trump instead of Texas independents. We'll talk about that a little bit later because we've got so much to talk about. But, Texas independence might be ripe again. You know, we'll see. I don't know. Maybe it's ripe right now. You can tell me. You can converse. You can talk to us on the show a variety of ways. Best way is to call 1-800-313-9443. That's phone line and you get to it quicker. We also have a chat room. There are people out in the chat room, and I will occasionally go in there, but that's kind of a secondary thing. A lot of times I like to try to throw links into the chat room, and people will fact check me and tell me I'm wrong out there, right? Because I'm not perfect. you know, and maybe I'm missing a point. Maybe you need to educate me. But that's it. So I think we're going into the new time. It's called, this is what I want to call this one, Back in Black, kind of, right? So we had COVID-1, we had Enter BLM, and then we have COVID-2, and now we're in Back in Black, right? Black Lives Matter, okay. But the problem with this whole thing is, well, I don't know. It feels like we're in this race hate war that is multicultural. You know what I mean? So we have Black Lives Matter, and we've got a lot of little white boys running around saying Black Lives Matter. And then we've got the enemies, the villains of Black Lives Matter, right? The most hatred ones, they call them white supremacists, that are Black, Mexican, Chinese, whatever, white. You know, then I'm sure there are pockets of these groups, let's say, like Patriot Prayer. Let's go there. They're in the news today, and we will be talking about, you know, what happened, you know, in Portland last night. And it was another killing, you know, another shooting, and it was bad. We'll be talking about it. But Patriot Prayer, for the most part, is a patriotic group, and it is multicultural. You know, I'm sorry to say that, guys. It's not a bunch of white boys running around, but they are white supremacists, even though they may be Black, brown, yellow. And if I color them, or if I say colors, now I'm racist. Damn it. Oh, well, who cares? Moving on. So it's a multicultural race war. Huh. Interesting. So they'll have the sub-narrative of what is going on. Something that came up this week was when I was discussing what I was going to be doing on the show, a friend of mine, you know, said, well, you know, I understand you're very passionate about your hobby. And I thought that was interesting. And I've had this conversation before. What is Republic Broadcasting, right? What is the talk shows, or who are the talk shows and hosts, and why are they talking, right? That goes back to a long time ago in a galaxy now. It goes back to about 2010 for me, you know, for you. I don't know what it goes back to, 2010, 2009. And I'd listen to all the talk show hosts, and I said, wow, that's a great, great point. You know, he should bring up this. Now, Republic Broadcasting offered a venue for us to call in, and we can go ahead and call into the show and say, hey, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? And it's great to get outside opinions, because a lot of the callers, a lot of the listeners have a lot of good stuff to say. Some of them, not so much, and I would agree or disagree with some of the callers. Right? But, of course, you're disagreeing with me, so, hey, no harm, no foul, I guess. But that's just the way that it goes. So with me, it came to become a vessel for me to communicate to the outside world, to you all, you know, as far as what my thinking was and the way I saw the world. And maybe you could help me flesh it out. I don't claim to be. A hobby just seems wrong to me. You know, what determines a hobby? Well, I guess when you get paid for something, it's now professional. And I definitely don't get paid for this. I definitely have to put out a lot of effort to come here every Sunday morning. The effort's constantly changing. You know, we're doing a summer show right now, and I have kids, and, well, they wake up early right now because now we're in school season. And so I'm daddy and broadcaster all in the same, and I apologize for that. If some kind of noise comes up in the background, it will happen. I'm sorry. And it'll only happen for a time, and then it'll go away. All things change. But some of this I wanted to show you, you know, after the Texas independence, you know, angle, I don't want to say went away as it's fizzled. What we've come here at the Republic of Texas radio show is talking about the world around us, everything around us, because that dictates Texas independence, the lack of, or the coming of. You know, I don't know where we're going. Seriously, don't know where we're. I can see the roadmap. You know, I have my feeling. You know, are we all going to die and this is going to go on in this totalitarian regime that we feel right now? You know, the government, the federal government, the corporate United States of America, are they going to stand there and keep morphing into a thing that, well, you know, we all know is Agenda 21, you know, the complete domination of mankind? Is Trump going to save us? Is Biden going to save us? Well, even Trump, I'd pass that too, you know, but what are we going to do? You know, is Trump the right direction? You know, I don't know, the three percenters, the QAnon, they have a lot of feelings and thoughts and direction. And I love that. And I love the QAnon folks, keep thinking folks. Maybe some of that's true. Maybe, if, you know, all of a sudden we're going to have a reform and we're going to go back to the Constitution that we didn't sign and has its own problems. But, hey, you know, the problem is, again, the people around us. The people around us like the control. We've kind of seen that in COVID-1 and COVID-2 and in Black Lives Matter. We see that with the newspapers and the media sources telling us what has happened, right, and what is happening, but it isn't the truth. So excuse me if I feel kind of a little bit, melancholy, yeah, about either direction. What I do know in November, it's going to be a S show, man. And I don't want to swear on the network, right? There's some words that we have to say to keep in contact. But this show is going to be a catastrophe in November, whether Trump gets in or Biden gets in or the wild card Nancy Pelosi gets in. Something's going to give. Okay. With that said, I told you what's coming up, right? You know, oh, shoot, let me give you a teaser. You know, the Texas independence thing. Oh, you're going to love this one or hate it one way or the other. Texas does this thing, and it gathers the House and the Senate every 2 years. And at that point, we put in all sorts of new laws and change stuff around. We make it so you can do things or you can't do things. And everybody gathers for, I think it's about 150 days, and they sit there and do stuff, right? Damn, I want that job, right? For 150 days out of 2 years, you get paid a full-time wage both years. Huh? What? Wouldn't that be wonderful? And they make bank. Okay, well, that's just me whining. This time they won't have to listen to us. Did you hear that? They won't have to listen to us. Because of the COVID-1 and COVID-2, there are rumors, and, well, hell, I don't know. This will happen. Don't get me wrong. There are rumors that next January, on January 12, 2021, they're going to meet again to dictate our future, or the future of Texas, behind closed doors. So all we have is those elected porch monkeys sitting up there throwing bananas and feces at one another, going, I want a Cadillac, I want a Porsche, I want a pickup truck, you know, and they're going to ignore the voice of the people. Now, they haven't wanted to listen to you for a long time. Don't get me wrong. They don't want to do it. And there's all these people in Texas that keep pestering them. So COVID, you know, yeah, we'll talk more about that later. But COVID is giving them the cover to close the door. Eh, you care? I don't know. Going to hell anyways. I don't know. So COVID is cracking. That's what I was trying to tell you. And the reason, I don't know. I think the reason that it's cracking is because they can't sustain much. I think they can only sustain a narrative for about 3 months, however cockeyed it is, right? So that gives us COVID-1, right? Black Lives Matter in the beginning, right? Or Black Lives Matter, we can call it something, whatever. COVID part two, now we're 9 months in. Now, the COVID thing, they came live on that. And they go, okay, this is the mask edition, and here's what you got to do. Okay, you lock down the stores, one way in, one way out. Hey, I thought that's what we call the grave, right? You know, you dig it 6 feet down, you throw them in, one way out. I don't know. But you had to walk into a store, you had to wear your mask, and, you know, here at our Walmart, it was damn funny, damn painful, too, as they got all the Walmart personnel to line up in a column, and then they'd watch you walk in, and they just stare at you. And their whole job was to stare at their customers, and they'd rotate them out every 15 minutes so the guys didn't get burnt, and we did the beginning of the COVID edition. And now they hired security guards and they sit around. We still got these kooky mask things going on in Texas. But of course, Texas didn't take to that too kindly. A lot of the cities, like the cities that's closest to me, Fredericksburg, Texas, they went mask happy, right? You know, and before the governor of Texas, his name's Abbott, I like to call him, you know, Roly Poly, or, you know, Old Ironside, you know, because, well, I don't respect him. And that's pretty much it. I'd like to vote him out. But the question is, you know, what's that going to do? We're going to get this Democrat involved, and they, oh, it's blue Texas. Like, okay, so we're going to take care of everybody by taking everything from, I don't know. I'm not a liberal. I'm a conservative, I guess. Yeah, I definitely believe in fending for yourself, but that's another argument. But Fredericksburg, Texas, you know, it's blue. I'm sorry to say that. And if it's really blue, and that's probably due to the lack of anybody paying attention. You know, the whole thing, they elect these blue people that aren't running as blue people, but they do have the names of Fredericksburg, right? The old names, and they have connections. And they do things like spend money like crazy. Oh, we want projects. Oh, we want cops. Oh, we want this. Oh, we want that. It's like a kid that's gone crazy. And they're suffering for it right now because of the COVID part one crushed the city of Fredericksburg's financial books, right? They took away spring break from them. They took money from everybody. Well, not necessarily everybody, but it was very painful. We're stuck in the COVID, and there's no end in sight. The current governor, you know, Governor Roly Poly, you know, he's extended the statewide mask mandate, which isn't quite a mandate, as more of a suggestion. You know, I don't know how else to put it, right? You know, there's no enforcement to it. You know, there's no nothing to it. But here in the city, in our blue city of Fredericksburg, we have a mask mandate that attacks the actual businesses for having people in them without masks. So my friends that own businesses in Fredericksburg are caught between a rock and a hard place. What are you going to do now, right? You don't believe in the mask yourself, right, because it doesn't make any sense. Technically, right, it doesn't protect you. It doesn't keep the COVID flu, whatever you want to call it, from, you know, getting out through the mask. It doesn't break it from getting into the mask. That's not how it's being transmitted, most likely. It doesn't make any sense, right? But we suffer, they suffer from the same problem that we suffer from all laws, because they come at you with a clipboard, not a gun. So it doesn't matter if they come at you with a gun. The person that's enforcing these COVID laws, that's a clipboard. Hang on, folks. That went too fast. Be right back. Republic of Texas Radio. When it does, I know.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
The Republic Broadcasting Network late night premiere show of Red Pill Hardcore is hosted by activists that want to hear from you, the listeners, so that you can get involved in the activism. Please call in at 800-313-9443 at 10 p.m. to enter the discussion. To book yourself as a guest, call our studio at 202-657-5715 or contact RBN staff. Remember, keep it real and take the Red Pill.
All right. We're back. Republic of Texas Radio. Hey, I was talking about the end of COVID, right? COVID part two. And I'm not talking about whatever nonsense this COVID is. Oh, people died, Steve. Don't say it's nonsense. It's a real thing. And, you know, I get that. You know, I hear people have died from it. I don't know people have died from it. I know there's a lot of misinformation about, you know, what is COVID and who has COVID, and they have lots of tests that may or may not prove a dang thing, right? So you really don't know, but you had a lot of fear, and the end of the fear is coming upon us right now. That's why I call it COVID cracking. Lots of business owners that I know have gone to, I don't give a crap, you know, and just do whatever. The corporate monkeys, the food stores, and they're still acting like totalitarians and, you know, self-righteous a-holes. So let's let that go because, well, there's nothing really new to deal with unless you've got something. 1-800-313-9443. I was talking to my sister last night. We were talking about the madness of the protesters and, you know, all the stuff that was going on and has been going on. And we were just going, wow, what a year, how everything has changed. And I'm going, wow, you know, it was a perfect storm. You know, first of all, you had all the businesses shut down with the COVID. right? And or the corona, whatever you want to call it. And then you shut down all the schools. Best riots and best protests happen when the schools are shut down and so forth. And then the black guy gets killed, right? You know, and they get killed all the time. White guys get killed all the time, too. Right? And this is where it's really interesting. And when we initially saw the kneeling video, right, it was contextualized as, you know, the cop killed him by kneeling on his neck. And a lot of us went, well, okay, that you should never kneel on a person's neck. I get it. You know, that's bad. But then there's a backstory in there that nobody really even cares about, right? There's the character of the man, what his intent was. Was he asking and complaining that he couldn't breathe for a half hour to an hour? You know, there's that whole story that nobody cares about. All they care about is that single picture. And that started this huge riot that engulfed our entire corporate United States. Well, engulfed the world, right? Everybody's all pissed off that George Floyd was killed by those horrible cops. And, yes, they don't like cops. That's probably something. I don't like cops. I don't like police. I'm not going to say that I don't like all police. You know, I've seen a couple examples of the boys in blue, the sheriffs, the police, that they acted decently, you know, and actually tried to solve a problem and not haul somebody off to jail. But they kind of colored me when I was early on as a kid, and I guess I'll go there because I thought it might be interesting. Your childhood memories really dictate an awful lot of your character when you grow up and what comes upon you. And forgive me if I may have shared this before to my long-term listeners, people have been with me for a while, but when I was 12, I lived in a place called Silicon Valley, California, and I'd go to school on a skateboard. And so I'd get up every morning and I'd start skateboarding down the King's Highway. It was called El Camino Real. And I'd skateboard down there and I'd go to Sunnyvale. There's this other, and it was an alternate route. When I got up, I used to take two buses. I'd get on it and I'd take a bus and then I'd get on another bus and I'd go there. It was public transportation all the way, man. It wasn't that bad and I could move quite a bit. And in all honesty, I skateboarded the route being multiple times, probably more than multiple times. But one day I was 12 and on the corner of the King's Highway, right? And I'm just sitting there, right? And I'm obeying the laws because my mom told me to obey the laws. You push the button on the little walkie thingy and you wait and you walk across the crosswalk with your skateboard because you weren't allowed to skateboard in the crosswalk. I knew that. I thought it was stupid, whatever, did it, got to the other side, and I'm sitting there on the corner with my skateboard. You know how kids don't really stand still very well? You're waiting to press a little button. Cop does the woo thing on me, right? So all of a sudden, I'm sitting there on a corner with the cops and red and white and things. They're spinning and whirling, and he wooed me. And he gets out of the thing, and he goes, what are you doing? I said, I'm crossing the street. So, you know, it's illegal to ride a skateboard on the sidewalk. I said, what? No. He said, I didn't know. Well, it is. What's your name? And so we did the old rigmarole for the first time, dance with a cop when you're 12. And I was being, well, what is that word? I was being picked on by the cops, right? And they had a project to pick on kids. And I was a kid on the sidewalk. And they gave me a ticket. And I proceeded to walk across the street to the bus stop. And I got on the bus and got home with my little note. It wasn't a note. It was a ticket. And my mom, what the hell is this? I go, well, the cops said I was skateboarding on the sidewalk. Oh, man. We went through that whole thing, right? You know, we drive to the night of juvenile court, right? Because I'm 12 and I'm a juvenile, and they held juvenile court. The town of Sunnyvale was damn curious in those days, right? So they held juvenile court in a library. Fascinating. So we all filled this little library, and there's Judge Tutankhamun or whatever the hell his name was, you know, and he's sitting there charging all the kids for dribbling a ball in the street or, you know, playing where they're not supposed to be playing or running the wrong way on the, I don't remember all the things. I remember the absurdity of it. It was crazy with all these kids and their parents, and they're charging everybody. The ticket was only $50, but back then $50 still was a lot of money. And well, the absurdity that they actually did that. That wasn't the kicker, right? So I guess I learned a lesson. I learned that I couldn't go from one city jurisdiction to the other and assume that the laws are the same. That's not how it works. You know, corporate America, each one of these little corporations, the city, the corporate city of, you know, blah, 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 of Sunnyvale and Santa Clara are totally different things. Got it. Good. So, well, then I'm skateboarding to school, and they picked me up and said, hey, kid, why aren't you in school? I said, school, you know, it starts at, it starts at 9. They're all, no, it starts at 10. And I go, well, I got to get to school. And they said, no, you're truant. And I go, what are you talking about? They said, well, put your hands on the car. And again, I'm 12 years old, just learning about law enforcement, right? I'm not a black guy. I'm a white kid, right? But they pick on white kids. Just at least back then they did. I'm sure that some of you guys have dealt with, you know, but maybe that's changed. I don't know. You know, you tell me. But they cuffed me and stuffed me into the car, and they took my skateboard away and dragged me down to juvenile hall, where they pointed me to a hallway with a line. And I had to walk that line. They say, follow the yellow line. And I walked down the yellow line. And at the end of the yellow line, there's a, I don't remember if it was a guy or a girl, standing there going, get in the cell. And they put me in a cell, a little 12-year-old boy, right? I was doing the wrong thing, skateboarding to work. A school, it wasn't work. Well, I could argue that was a lot of work going to school, especially with the police harassment. Now, that was in a different jurisdiction. That was in the Cupertino School District. And, yeah, they proceeded to call my mom at the hospital, right? And they go, hey, Mrs. O'Brien, your son is truant. Dun, dun, dun. And she goes, what are you talking about? School doesn't start for another 15 minutes. And they go, what? And she goes, yeah, he goes to a private school. What are you doing with my son? You let him go. Well, we're down here at juvenile hall. You're what? You're at juvenile hall, and you have my son. Oh, yeah, he's truant. No, he's not. School hasn't even started. This is his school. He needs to go to school. Well, we need you to come down here and pick him up in either case, right? Because he was truant. He's not truant. You picked him up. Now he's going to be late for school. I need you to put him in the car, and I need you to bring him to school. Sure enough, after a little bit of yelling, the nurse, my mom, managed to get the cops to get me out of jail. And so my little, you know, 15, 30 minutes of sitting in a cell ended. You know, it was rather kind of creepy, you know, being a 12-year-old boy locked in, had these big bars and hearing the clang, clang. What the hell? I'm not even late. So when I talk about police abuse, folks, and there was many incidents after that, the police in California were very authoritarian, you know, in Santa Clara, Cupertino, Sunnyvale. They loved them tickets. They loved their little things, and I could go on for it forever. But I wanted to say that just a little bit, just to let you know that I am biased when we deal with these little cop things. side because I don't believe a damn thing. You know, the charges that are leveraged against these people and the labels that they got from a justice system that isn't quite just, that's a problem. So that leads me to what we were talking about on the protest side. Now, last week, since all these things, remember I was talking about my sister. She was sitting there, you know, we were talking about how the protests are going, how weird that is. And I told her, you notice it's kind of come to a head, right, a little bit. And it's probably due to them, well, it's come to a head. Now that's the wrong word for it. But since everybody's going back to school, right, the protesters are going back to school because that's who the majority of these people are. At least they're the innocent bystander, tracker type people, maybe. I really don't know. But it's happening. Well, and another little kicker was the Kyle Rittenhouse problem, right? Kyle Rittenhouse. And I don't know how we want to, I don't know how that should be painted right now, because that character, they never tell you who he was, right? They never tell you who he was. They tell you that he was there and he's a white supremacist. Well, they tell you everybody's a white supremacist. So that means that they don't want to describe him. But then there's also these reports that, and I'm not saying what he did was right. It definitely wasn't right. In my eyes, in his eyes, it was right. But I'm saying we've already had historic precedents for this. And that was played out in, well, the Bundy Ranch series, Bundy 1 and Bundy 2. And it's kind of like Bundy 2. So Kyle goes out to, and he wants to protect people. And people say that he was even part of the Black Lives Matter crew. Well, they don't care about that. Just because he went there to support Black Lives Matter, but he also had a bent that he didn't think that the businesses should be looted. So, and this is all hearsay. We judge everything by hearsay. What is fact was that Kyle was walking along a street with I think it was an AR-15, when he was attacked. He was attacked and leveled to the ground. And then an individual came up and hit him with a skateboard. And another one pulled up to shoot him, right? Reaching for his gun. And there's videos. There are so many videos. Oh, my God. How can the truth not come out? You know how it can't come out, because they report on the truth through the media sources who alter the narrative completely. So, okay, you all know the story from there. Kyle shoots three people, right? You know, and you look at it and you go, oh, God, he shot three people. They were all three wonderful supporters of Black Lives Matter. They were heroes. They died, and this and that. Okay, we got to look at it, right? They attacked him. He didn't attack them. There was no, he didn't provoke the violence. Yet, what? The beautiful legal system, the attorney general or whatever, the district attorney. Sorry, district attorney is appropriate. Murder, you know, homicide. And it's like, really, dude? Really? Well, how do you fit that, right? That doesn't fit into any, but it doesn't have to fit, right? The justice system is screwed up, you know, and we can look at the people that he shot, right? And we have to look at the people that he shot, because they were the provocateurs of this entire thing. He wasn't doing anything wrong. He didn't walk out there and shoot them all, bang, 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 right? Nope, that didn't happen. Right? What happened was he was there. Now, I do argue he's a dumbass. I would use the dumbass argument, because he was a dumbass for going what was not his business. Okay, he achieved his own business, right? You know, it says, well, that is my business. I think Black Lives Matter, but I don't think that they should burn stuff and hurt people. So I'm going to take my gun, and I'm going to go walk the streets with Black Lives Matter people, and I've got my medic kit, and I'm a medic, and I don't know how he became a medic. You know, what is that? A course they teach in school, and or is that just the course they teach at Black Lives Matter? Right? Or maybe the Bureau of Land Management, BLM, same. You know, whatever. So, dumbass on Kyle, right? And that's just my opinion. Maybe he was righteous in doing that. You can decide. He can decide. My opinion doesn't count. You know, it really doesn't. Yours doesn't either. But you can call into the show, 1-800-313-9443. But the three people that attacked him, right, they aren't up on charges. Of course, two of them are dead. One of them was shot to the head, by the way. And I don't know if you saw the footage of a whole bunch of people pointing their phones at a dying man. I saw that the first night, and it, you know, my God, really, guys? Like, oh, you've got some kind of a perverse, no, you're trying to help, no, you want a copy, because I don't know what your reason was for pointing cameras at this body, this man, as his last moments were last moments on earth, were people filming him. Can you imagine that? You got a glimpse of a whole bunch of iPhones and Androids being pointed at you, and you're shivering, your body's shaking, and it's passing to the next realm or whatever happened. That was sick. I couldn't watch it. I stopped it right there. You know, I got the gist, right? And you go, well, I wonder who this man was. Initially, he was supposedly a looter, and he was on that. I don't know how that all played out. I haven't war gamed all the scenarios, and that will be done, you know, in the future. But he was one of the guys, and I saw him on the video attacking and so forth. But Kyle had to defend himself, but he's being charged as the attacker, and I get it. You know, justice is justice. And they had to call him a murderer to appease the crowd. And they're going to let him off in the future. Who knows? They'll probably do double, triple, full, quadruple lifetime, 16 lifetimes just for that. The characters of the individuals should be looked at. Will they? You know, I don't know. I don't know if they will. The court case is going to be, well, in the future. It's going pretty quick, though. They had the arraignment because it was a Sunday night event. I think it was Sunday night. They had it the next week, and, you know, they at least he's out of state, and they had a extradition hearing, and for now there's a stay. So maybe they're stalling on us, you know, probably. They don't want this to proceed. They want to frame it. Who's they? The prosecutor, the media, the governor, you know, the mayor. They all have the same agenda. You know, they don't want to make Antifa or the Black Lives Matter folks look bad. Kind of paint them with beautiful brush, make them look all sparkly. And oh, but one was a burglar. Alleged burglar. You know, he was tried and convicted of burglary and a few other things. One was a pedophile, you know, and he was tried and convicted of being a pedophile. And one was a domestic abuser, and he was tried and convicted of that. Okay. So the darlings of the Kenosha, Wisconsin shootings, the victims, they were all stellar people. That really doesn't matter, but you really got to take that into account of how they behaved that night. And we don't know anything. We do know a lot of things, but the fog of war has left us. There's just too much information. It's got to be collected and then distributed. Now, we don't have a very good distribution chain. We sit there and allow the corporate mass media to actually hand that information out. They editorialize everything, so you'll never know. And it's going to be a year and a half from now, and we're going to be looking at something else, like the fact that tennis shoes have shoelaces which contain COVID. I don't know. I just made that up. It sounds pretty possible, right? I don't know. I mean, that's gone. That was so 4 days ago, the Kyle Rittenhouse. Or maybe not, right? Because that whole thing, it seems to lead to, the next round, which could be that, I'd like to call it the Gangs of New York, Irish style. And this would be a modern-day version of the Gangs of New York, played by black and white and Mexicans and maybe some Vietnamese and Chinese. I don't know if there's any Chinese involved with this. And we'll do it. It's going to be Antifa and Black Lives Matter versus, what are they called? The Proud Boys and Patriots Prayer. Okay, so there you go. You got two sides, and let's go. All right, now, see, here's the thing. You got Patriots Prayer, right, that is a white nationalist. Patriots Prayer, who's being portrayed by the media as a white supremacist group, right, is multi-ethnic, right? So Patriots Prayer has black people, brown people, Asian people, white people all in it that are all white supremacists. Okay, got it. Okay, let's just, that's just the way it is, right? That's them. And the Proud Boys are another white supremacist group that, albeit their makeup is not like Patriots Prayer, they are diverse. They do not exclude by race. That is not a thing. And am I wrong? I don't know much about the Proud Boys, but I didn't feel that the white supremacist label fits correctly. They are not white supremacists, and they really were the Proud Boys. I'm white, I'm American, and I like our country, is what they were saying years ago. We've been following these guys for quite some time, folks. You know it. You've been following it, too. But they're now pushed up against this Black Lives Matter crew, right? The crew that says that we've been trashing black people since like forever and all white people are inherently racist and this and that. And, by the way, we don't really care about black people. We're communists. Right? Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. And they're also supported by big tech, big data. It's the Chinese, right? They're perfect, right? The four women of the Black Lives Matter gestalt, right? The four companies. Well, maybe someday I'll do a little show on that, but you've probably heard a lot about that. I don't really feel like doing that. If somebody else can do it, I'm not going to. But Black Lives Matter, which consists of, a multi-ethnic group, this diverse group, like they like to say. I mean, all these groups are diverse, but they're playing the part. It's like, okay, we're going to do a play, and the bad, evil white guy is going to be black, and all the slaves are going to be white, and, it's just a facade. It's crap. Isn't that weird that three white guys get shot by a white guy at a protest? It ain't no protest, folks. But you knew that. You don't need me to know or to tell you that. Now, last night, that gets me to last night, right? Where are we going into, right? This is going to be, I don't know, what do we call this? they re-enter Bureau of Land Management. Antifa strikes again. I don't know. Ken, are you listening? Because about right now would be a good time to play that clip. I'm a little late in that. So if you got it ready, go ahead and play it. Okay. You can't hear that too well. I really couldn't. I had to crank up the volume. This is where, if you're over in the chat room, I'm going to go ahead and send that over there, and you can listen to it for yourself. What that was the, well, last night's event, right? You know, so one of the groups, right, and this time it was Patriots Prayer, assembled a convoy, and they went over to Portland, and the convoy being a whole bunch of cars with Trump flags, and they drove through Portland. And this was their protest. And, of course, Antifa and the BLM met them along their way. So they're driving through. Today we like Trump. We came from everywhere. We got our flags out here. And then stick our nose at you. It's something like that. I don't know. That's what I mean. Yeah, without the singing and everything, that's what they're doing. They're supporting Trump. And in a normal year, it would be normal, but when you go to a hotbed and you poke a bear, you get what just happened on audio that you couldn't hear. You can look a little bit more, or I'll tell you how to find some more useful information on that protest. Because again, the fog of war and the fact that the media lies makes it very, very hard to fight. So the audio that you heard was captured by an individual, and it says, "We got one over here." And then you hear the gunshots. And, well, that was the end of the Patriots Prayer guy. Was it? And it seems to be a Patriots Prayer guy. And let me get to his name. I don't know. Is his name important? Yeah, probably it is important. But man, dude, really, I think a lot of people understand right now that if you go to a protest, there's a chance that you are not coming home. Okay, let me repeat myself. If you go to one of these protests, there is a chance that you will not come home. Everything has escalated. Everything. Now, if you're good with those options and you feel that it's so necessary to go to one of these things because what? Because a convoy of Trump flags is going to change somebody's mind? Is that going to get your point across? Is that worth your life? Everything's hot. We are in a hot war at this time, between the Antifa, the Black Lives Matter, Patriot Prayer, the Proud Boys, or anybody that stands against Patriot Prayer or BLM, Black Lives Matter, not the Bureau of Land Management. You're always in a hot war against them. They're not supposed to own property. And maybe we'll get to that a little bit, because they were the original big meanies. We got a guy dead, right? And he was separated. I keep thinking about that. And I have only been thinking about it for about an hour, hour and a half, since I've known that it actually happened. But isn't it a lot like the National Geographic films, documentaries, where you see the big pack, the big herd of herd buffalo moving along, and a whole bunch of lions just waiting in the thing. Okay, we got one. Pull them aside and shoot them. Bang. There we go. One for one, two for one. We need two for all and three for three. This has happened throughout history. And, it's happening again, folks. It's happening again. What are you going to do about it? You know, I, for one, don't feel like the best recourse is, and I'm not saying anything to you folks that believe that going out there, I'd say don't do it. I just don't agree with you. I don't want you to lose your life. The confrontation with the folks that want to burn down everything. Now, I'm not saying that you should let them burn down your house, your apartment, or your business. or your friend's business or your neighbor's business, but it has to be your business to be involved in protecting their business. Coming from out of state to raise havoc is troublemaking, right? But we already knew that, right? And so maybe it's exciting. It probably is to a lot of people. A lot of people live on the internet, and I don't want to generalize in people, but the truth being said, you know, you live in social media and you wait for these in real life IRL LARPs, live action role playing games, where you finally get to take out your AR-15, you know, with your custom optics, you know, and wear your bulletproof vest. You know, and that's on both sides, folks. You know, that's on both sides. You know, the folks over at Antifa, they buy their skinny jeans, their black pants, their shirt, and their custom mask, and then they prepare. They get their gasoline. They get their bottles. They get their flares. They build their medikits, and they wait for the next day where they go out and pretend that they are a medic, a reporter, right, or just a average destructor, right? You know, who knows with that? So Portland's live again, and we enter, as we exit the corona, we're going to do probably, what do we got? October, November? Are we going to have race riots or diverse race riots the entire time before the election, the selection of the Trump versus the Biden? Oh, geez, Lord. You know, I don't want to see Biden. I don't want to see Biden. I don't necessarily want to see Trump. He hasn't, you know who Trump is. And he's not what they're portraying him as, right? You know, but he's something else. He's hidden. He's covert. And it's whatever. I don't know how else to tell you guys this, but we've done this all before. You know, at the last Black Lives Matter, last BLM event was somewhere around 2014, 2013. And the federal government, you know, Barack Obama's band of merry thugs came into the Bundy Ranch. And they flew in with their helicopters, and they claimed that he didn't have any right to run his cattle on the land, but there was something that it was, he already had jurisdiction of the land based on the fact that he'd had permission for over 100 years within his family, had been grazing cattle on that land, and then the feds came in. That was a different kind of protest, very much different than the chaotic one that we have today. And I wanted to kind of do a juxtaposed on that one. Bundy 1 was righteous. It was totally righteous. You know, the people from all around the corporate United States, they gathered together, you know, to defend the Bundy Ranch. Now all the names are, you know, kind of not in the back of my head. I'm forgetting a lot of little pieces, so I'm going to try to patchwork the whole thing together for you to show you what I believe is a just cause. And it nearly went to hell, right? It definitely nearly went to hell because people... I'm talking too much. We're going to break. Hang on, folks. So we'll be right back.
And are possibly defective, state laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
This is our